Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
Welcome to Gospel Solutions for Families. My name is Matthew O. Richardson. I'm second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. This is a program designed to discuss how the restored gospel provides understanding and solutions to deal with everyday challenges and opportunities in marriage and family living. Today, we are joined with several distinguished guests, which will help us in understanding how the proclamation to the world on the family, which was given back in 1995, how we can use that document to help families, parents, couples, children, and even young single adults to help them find solutions to the challenges they find in everyday family living. I am joined today with Sister Julie B. Beck, who is the Relief Society General President, Jean A. Stevens, Primary General Presidency First Counselor, and Elder Shane M. Bowen. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you. It's so nice to have you, and I look forward to your comments. We spent in a previous episode some time talking about the foundation of the proclamation to the world on the family. We talked about its general concepts, the importance to understand that this is a prophetic document. This isn't just nice suggestions or the new improved program for the time period, but these are eternal principles of truth. Elder Bowen, you brought up a comment about that this is really outlining the plan of salvation and the importance. And I think that that's very important to understand when we talk about how we might use the proclamation to help us in our family living. So I was intrigued by some comments that we gathered about the proclamation. And I'd like to play one which really caught me a little bit off guard. It wasn't quite what I expected, but yet I resonated with it.
I think it's something that was brought to us to help keep us together, to show us what's really important, and to let everything else that is trivial and just little, I guess more worldly, just let it go. Our families are way more important than that.
I like this comment, and as I mentioned, it wasn't what I was quite expecting when we were gathering comments about the proclamation to the world on the family. But first, I was intrigued and I was gripped by the emotion. Here is someone who was just simply asked about the proclamation, what it contains and why it's important. And immediately, the emotions began to flow. I mean, that was something that was coming deep from within. And in her comment, she mentioned about the proclamation guides us to things that are really important. And with that in mind, I'd like to hear just your reaction in general, but also I would hope our conversation can start to talk about those items that we would find in the proclamation that are really important, that guide and direct us and tell us what marriages and families can be in the gospel setting. Elder Bowen?
When you talk about what is really important, it makes me think of the man that was very wealthy. And when he died, someone asked, how much did he leave? And they said, all of it. And I think that's significant. There are many good things, many important things, but the essential things are covenants and promises that we make. And the only thing that we will take with us will be our family. We can work and amass great wealth here, but when we leave, that all stays in the junkyard of life. And I think that the family proclamation helps us identify not only good things, but the essential things. So it's a roadmap.
You mentioned covenants. Anything specific in the family proclamation dealing with covenants that come to mind? Because that's such a key, critical element. And sometimes when we think of covenants, we think simply of baptism, etc. Any thoughts about the covenants that we enter into that this helps us understand our covenants dealing with marriage and family?
This is the quote from the proclamation. Sacred ordinances and covenants available in holy temples make it possible for individuals to return to the presence of God and for families to be united eternally. That concept is very empowering. When you know that the covenants you make in the temple make it possible for you to return to the presence of God and to be united with a family eternally, that means you invest for the long term,
okay,
not just the short term, because in the short term, we have a tough life. Life is tough.
And it happens every day.
It happens. Life is daily.
It is.
And the messages, as we've said before, come at us. And I've got a daughter who's a Ward Relief Society president in a ward that is fairly young. I would say that 70% of the ward is under the age of 40. Then she says the biggest struggle she has as a Relief Society president is dealing with families who are new at everything. They're new at being married. They're new at intimacy. They're new at managing money. They're new at having children. They're new at teaching children. They're new at starting children in school. They're new at problem solving and working together. And the families that get through all of that newness and the practice that happens in daily life, the employment problems, the illnesses, the struggles that happen just because we're mortal, they don't get caught up in it so much if they know we'll get through this and this is our goal.
Right.
Those that who don't understand the long-range ramifications of a family really get in a whirlpool of discouragement.
You know, I think of, as you're mentioning, the perspective that comes from eternal covenants available in the temple, as the proclamation points out, does change the very way that we operate on a daily experience. I'm wondering, are there other ways that covenants bless us besides just our perspective and giving us that long-term experience, which that is so foundationally important, but are there other ways that covenants that come that really do bless us in the trenches on that daily experience? Any thoughts on that?
I think we live in a day of disposable items. We have disposable diapers. We have disposable food. We have all of those. And I think we've come to a point where maybe people think we have disposable marriages.
Right.
And we try it for a while. But with eternal covenants, we look at it differently. We understand that this is forever. And I think when we understand that it's forever, we put more into it.
Okay.
Is it easy? No. But that's where the growth comes. But disposability isn't an option.
In the simple principle of the law of the harvest, the more that we put into it, obviously the more will come out of it as well. Sister Beck?
The scriptures teach us that in temples we're endowed with power from on high, and that in the covenants we are given not just the responsibility, but we're given God's power to be able to fulfill those covenants. We're not making a promise that we have to do all by ourselves. With the temple covenant comes the temple blessing that I think we call upon not often enough.
And that comes, well, I think, in my experience, that often comes immediately. That temple blessing. It's not someday in the afterlife where we get those blessings, as you're mentioning.
It's literal. It's real. It's immediate. And oftentimes we don't recognize it for what it is.
And I think this is very important when we look at that is the Lord does endow us with power, but it can come immediately. And blessings to be able to live those covenants is an endowment of the power of covenants. It's something that's very immediate. Elder Bowen?
And when a man and a woman enter into those covenants, their children are born in the covenant.
Right.
Which means they are heirs to that promise and those blessings. Children are a part of the covenant. They are like an investment. We have to invest time and we need to invest early if we want to have a return.
Sister Stevens?
I was thinking the exact same thing that Sister Beck had mentioned, because when you go, the first experience in the temple is called the endowment. It's an endowment, a blessing of power to you. And then as we faithfully keep the covenants we make in the temple, we are given power beyond our own to help us live those covenants in a way that will bless our lives, bless our families. And it changes it from, just as Sister Beck said, you know, it's all on my shoulders, to we have the Lord's power and blessing with us, which changes everything.
That's nicely stated. I think of the early days of the church in Doctrine and Covenants, sections 37 and 38, when the Lord is gathering his people to Kirtland. This is a fascinating experience to me, is he invites them to leave all that they have and to gather together. There are promises that he gives them. For example, he says that we will help you to be a united people without spot. So there will be protection in that way. We'll help improve you. It also says that he will promise to protect them from their enemies. But I couldn't help but think of this when you were speaking, Sister Stevens, is he says, and I will endow you with a power from on high. It's when we get into Kirtland that we start to see the unfolding of the great additional covenants that come through temple worship in its initial stages, and all the covenants, the power of the priesthood comes. But the saints were expecting not for a future of power, but they were expecting to be endowed when they arrived. And they expected the Lord to embrace that endowment. And that endowment is a power beyond them. I love that word. To endow is to give a gift. To bequeath something is beyond our ability to get on our own. And I think that that's what covenants really do. Elder Bowen?
And I think that endowment isn't an event, but it's a process.
Nicely said.
And so we receive that endowment line upon line, precept upon precept. And many times as we're receiving that endowment, we look at things and we think, that's a small thing. How could that make any difference? Specifically, in the proclamation, it talks about family home evening.
Okay.
It doesn't say family home evening, but for me, this is where it's talking about family home evening. It says, happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the family home evening. Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. That's a big list. And it's not something that we receive all at once.
Right.
But as loving mothers and fathers meet with their children in the weekly family home evening and teach those principles, that endowment that we have been promised will be given to us.
Nicely said. And I think also we should point out that we shouldn't try to accomplish teaching all of those principles in one family home evening either.
No. The kids won't stay.
No, they won't. And we would be overwhelmed. It's almost like if someone's thirsty and they hold out the sacrament cup and we hose them with
it.
Most of it
is something that they catch and feel versus the words. But it's that power that you get in the temple as a covenant. The Doctrine and Covenants in Section 110 says this is the beginning of the blessing which will be poured out upon your head. As Elder Bowen said, it's ongoing blessing if we seek for it. And it takes a lot of revelation. We have children who are raising children now, and they have young families with energetic children. That is exhausting. It's exhausting to have these children every day. And one of my children said to me one day, why are they so strong? These children we have are so strong. I said, well, you had parents who gave you all the opportunities in the world. It seems like their generation, my children's generation, got it all. They got the education. They got the fun. They got the training. They had every option. And now they want it easy. They're not really saying they want it easy.
No.
But I said, who do you think Heavenly Father is going to send into your care? He's going to send really strong spirits who have well-prepared parents. And that means you are going to have to use all the blessings that come through your covenants, the power that comes to know what to do every day.
If you are joining us, we are talking about the proclamation of the world on the family. I am joined with Elder Shane M. Bowen and also the Relief Society General President Julie B. Beck and Jean A. Stevens, the first counselor in the primary general presidency. We have been discussing the proclamation to the world on the family and how we can use the proclamation to guide us in our practical approach to family and to marriage. And I have been enthralled by this, and I'm learning so much personally about the power that comes through covenants. What else might we point to in the proclamation that would be of great benefit, practical benefit, relevant benefit to individuals who are trying to formulate their own marriage or their own families or dealing with those challenges that come from everyday family living? Anything else pop out or stand out in your mind?
One thing, I just wanted to follow up on the family home evening.
Good. I hope that you would.
If you want to have a successful family home evening, the key is the refreshments at the end.
There we go. And to bless them.
And to bless
those refreshments, that they'll nourish and strengthen
Elder Bowen,
our bodies.
Maybe that's found in this statement here, that by divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness. and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and the protection for their families, and mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of the children. Is that what you're saying?
I have just been enlightened. I have never read it that way, but I agree. Maybe in all seriousness, let me talk about what Sister Beck just said about the husband presiding or the father presiding in the home. I think that there's a misconception. Sometimes we hear preside and we think that's a dictator. We see a dictator presiding over his country and what he says goes. But in order to understand what preside means, we need to go back to who is the president. And the president is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is the one that presides his church. When someone had to suffer or someone had to sacrifice, he did it. When someone needed a blessing, he gave that blessing. He was always looking out for the needs of others. I would say that if a man would preside in his home the way Christ presides in his church, there would never be any complaints because it would be all about giving and
That's
lifting
right.
and blessing others.
It's that unison that comes, and the Family Proclamation does that so nicely. It gives us individual and important responsibilities and roles, which, Sister Beck, you just pointed out, for both male and female and for children as well. And at the same token, it weaves those roles so wonderfully together where we see really the principle that man cannot be whole without the woman and woman cannot be whole without the man, but they must do their roles as been divinely appropriated to be able to bring that about.
Last year, there was a new song that was brought out in primary called The Family Is of God, and it's really based on the proclamation of the family. But one of the lines in it, just every time I hear it, it just resonates in my heart. And it says, God gave us families to help us become what he wants us to be. And I think it's in a family that we work together, mother, father, children. And that's how we become heirs to his kingdom, is through living in a family and learning what it takes to make a family successful and unified and built on love.
That's very good. And some people will ask, well, how do we do that? How do we find that unity? How do we go about bringing that together? And I think, Elder Bowen, what you mentioned here or pointed out from the proclamation is that's what Family Home Evening is really about, is being able to apply those principles and come to that unity in faith. So we must talk about faithful principles and gospel principles. It seems that it's more than just refreshments. There's a unity of the faith, and it comes over time as we apply those principles. I can't help but think of the principle of counsel that we use basic to the fundamental elements of the church, but that's basic to family. And Family Home Evening is really the counseling together to understand our roles, to understand how we live our lives, how we come together in marriage and family.
We used Family Home Evening for that when our children were growing up. If we had a concern about reverence at church, we brought that to Family Home Evening, and we asked them what the problem was and what they would propose as a solution. It's very interesting to hear what a five-year-old would present as a solution to lack of reverence in sacrament meeting, but they came up with things.
And very candid things,
they're
sure.
They're very candid things, and sometimes they were useful solutions and sometimes not, but they were involved in the conversation and felt invested in the family goals. I recall Family Home Evening with our children as somewhat confused, disorganized, not ideal. I always had a dream of something running exactly perfect, and children coming out at the end of a Family Home Evening with an illuminated view of life and a great gospel understanding. And
yours weren't like that?
After every home evening, I thought, boy, I wish that would have been better, not really feeling effective. What is interesting to me is that now my children are doing that same practice, and they recall our Family Home Evenings as being wonderful and enlightening and exactly what they are aiming for now with their families. So I think it's the pattern and the attempt more than the perfection in the execution that blesses families.
That's a good point. That's actually a very good point.
I love it, too, in Family Home Evenings when we're talking about that, to see it not as parents doing all the talking and all the teaching, but it's a time to share where we really listen and hear what our children have to say. And then, as Elder Bednar talked in one of his conference talks, I think it was in the April of 2010, about really understanding where our children are and feeling their hearts. And it's a time where we really learn and get close to each other
because
we're all sharing.
Elder Bowen, go ahead, please.
See, Brother Richards, I was going to say, too, some other things that are such a blessing to not only the parents but to the children. Oftentimes, parents will give counsel to their children, and sometimes during the teenage years, mom and dad don't know very much. But they will hold to the prophets. The direction in this proclamation is so clear that we do believe in chastity.
Right.
We believe that those relationships are saved for a man and a woman legally and lawfully wedded. That's a great message from a prophet of God to our youth. It also clearly states that we believe in the sanctity of life. And with all of the different ideas
right.
of what that means, what a blessing to have the prophetic word that we are a chaste people and we do believe in the sanctity of life. The direction is powerful.
And one of the elements that you brought up that I think is so wonderful about this is when we may be lacking in how to do family, how to do marriage, and when we're learning these experiences, where do we look for the information? We go to the prophets of God. The proclamation points directly to prophetic principles, principles that are divinely instituted, rather than going to the self-help manuals, which there are many. You can go to sections after sections in any bookstore on how to do this. But this simple, wonderfully profound document directs us to go to the source of truth, which is that we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And we can know what that means for us through the revelation we're entitled to receive. If we know the principle and we present the Lord with the problem, He'll give us the solution. I found that over and over again. And it's a solution designed specifically for my family, for my time,
right.
for my need, that wouldn't work for anybody else. I love the fact that a family leader can go straight to Heavenly Father and get help.
I agree, and I can't almost help myself but to say amen and then want to testify of that in my own experiences, is I found that to be true continually, is finding that direction and finding that help through personal revelation coupled with that experience of prophetic direction. Is it has saved me on almost every occasion in every aspect, and I'm grateful for that. We're running a little lower on time, and I would like to ask your opinion because I think you have so much to offer. Just quickly, there's a line in the proclamation that states that parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in both love and righteousness. Then there's a line that says to teach them to love and serve one another, to observe the commandments of God, and to be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. I would just be interested on your input, because so many people would ask, that is so important, and we agree with this, that we need to teach our children to love and serve one another. We need to teach our children and our families to observe the commandments of God, and we need to be law-abiding individuals. But then the question will always follow, how do I do that as a parent? How do we do that in our family? Do you have any practical suggestions or experiences that you've seen on how families might be able to connect that important principle of their sacred responsibility and just ideas of how that has happened or how that might take place within a marriage and in a family?
Again, I think we've talked about the importance of giving time to our children and to our families. We need to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Savior said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Our goal, our purpose, and the purpose of the proclamation is to allow us to return back to the Father.
Right.
And we'll only return back if we are like Him. So in those family home evenings, in the interviews we have with our children, when we're talking about things that are important, when we're sitting around the kitchen table eating dinner together, and that ought to be a very common occurrence. It shouldn't happen once on Thanksgiving and once on Christmas. But as we sit around there teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, feasting upon the words of Christ, that describes what Christ did. And we need to become like Him. So I would say that that's how what that's talking
Good.
About.
It's in the living of life that you teach these things. It's not so much as in a lesson as in the application, the loving one another. It's when we help children work together. The meal times are important because we learn to talk to each other in that informal setting and get the respect that each person needs. You can't do it all with a lesson. Family home evening is important, and it's an important tool. But after family home evening, we stand up and we go about daily life. So helping solve problems with sharing and being nice to each other and respectful and reporting into parents, those situations come up hourly in a family, if you know the principle, then you're practicing it all the time.
Nicely said. And that practice does bring about, to use the phrase, perfection in principle
it's
and in practice.
It's more the precision of the practice that gets us to where we want to go.
And also with Elder Bowen, what you're saying is the constancy of that practice. It has to be continually being practiced, and that becomes a critical element.
Perfection is a pretty tough word.
Oh, it is. that's why I always refer to the Greek element of it as being complete. Right. It is a process, as was brought out here, and it's a step-by-step
it's
that comes about
that
in the living.
It's the feeling that we're not perfect that discourages people.
Well, that's true.
But we can be perfect in our practicing so that result comes out to be what we want.
But isn't that the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel of Jesus Christ was never intended to be something that we just go through and we talk about or that we listen about. It's always intended to be set the principle, now go and do. The very best that you can. Live it the very best you can. Experiment in the way that we do these things. And I think that's the gospel of Christ. And it's true of families. We don't talk about family at church. We live family in daily living. Sister Stevens?
I love that about the gospel in relationship to our lives. We all have opportunities to live the Christ-like life. Not just talk about it, but live it. And that really is such an important measure of how much we love the Savior and how we have a desire to follow Him is really, do we live what we believe? And in families, we have opportunities to live it to the ultimate, really.
Excellent point. We have been having the opportunity to discuss the proclamation to the world and the family and how it can provide relevant and practical guidelines as we live our lives. And that's the important part, live our lives in marriage and family. This is Gospel Solutions for Family, where we discuss how the restored gospel provides understanding solutions to deal with everyday challenges. As mentioned, we've been talking about the guiding principles of proclamation. In other episodes, we'll discuss other practical ways that the gospel can help and direct us in the way that we do our family living.